the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, USA Today's NFL Wire site, covering, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, with my co-host, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. It is the third show of the week and the second one with Seth this week. We did a full slate of shows, as Seth and I. We did our reaction show to the Cardinals win over the Chargers. I did a show with Dolphins wire manager Adam Stites as we previewed the game, and this is the game. This is our preview picks and props and all. Do all the P's. We can do alliterations. I love alliterations. Picks, preview, predictions, props, and whatever else we want to call that, Seth. It's episode 607, and the Cardinals and the Dolphins play this week. I talked to Adam Stites about the Dolphins, but let's, Seth, tell me what you get from this Dolphins team, because, you know, we know that they've been terrible. We know they've been terrible. Their two wins were week one with Tua in the lineup, where they barely beat a bad Jacksonville team, and they beat the Patriots, and the Patriots are patently bad. They've averaged 10 points a game over their last five, and... but they have so much talent, and Tua is supposed to come back this week. How much different do you think this Dolphins team will look just by having Tua in the lineup?
You know, I think it's going to be a big difference to get him back, but it's always interesting when situations like this arise, because, you know, you and I talked about it off the air, and actually it was more of a text conversation between you and I, when I was just like, dude, I don't want to watch Tua's career end. Like, that's the whole thing. And I'm not saying it is, and, like, you know, every guy or every person has to make this decision on their own, right? Like, you and I can't and quite frankly aren't privy to all the information that they have for Tua and whatnot. And but it definitely is interesting that he's back after what we saw. I mean, the fact that the concussions have been so bad for him.
Well, right. It's not just that, because lots of players have had multiple concussions. It's just that his one looked terrible and happened to be on highly televised games.
Yeah, and you made a great point, Jess. Like, they look terrible, and the results are typically terrible. Like, we're just to the point where it's uncomfortable to watch, right? Like, you just, it's not something you wanna watch. So, you know, you and I have talked about it. It's like, I really, like, you don't want to watch a guy in his career, and that'll be any game he's in at this point. I mean, I'm sure it's been said multiple times, but him coming back is, you know, it's an interesting decision, and I get it from a financial standpoint and things like that, but you hope that's not the only thing that's weighing in on this. And before he got injured, it's not like he was lighting it up this year. You know, we're talking about a guy that, you know, has had a Pro Bowl year in his 5-year career. Last year led the NFL in passing yardage. The year before that, in 2022, he led the NFL in touchdown percentage, and then average yards per catch and depth of target and quarterback rating. So, like, he's put up really, really good numbers in back-to-back years. And so then to come into this year, you know, you mentioned it in their opening day win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was okay. 23 for 37. That's a lot of pass attempts. 338 yards and a touchdown. So not a bad day at the office. And then before the injury, 17 of 25 against Buffalo, so a little more accurate, but 145 yards,
one touchdown.
Yeah, one touchdown and three interceptions. So it's like he was playing at a really, really poor rate. And so, you know, those things are all to take into consideration before we say, yeah, he's, you know, it's a huge boost that he's back. And I mean, quite frankly, it can't be any worse, right? Like you mentioned that
the play that they got from the combined trio of Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, and Tyler Huntley. It was tantamount to what the Cardinals dealt with between Josh Dobbs and Clayton Tune last year. And so, yeah, like, you know how the Cardinals seem to have that boost from that first game back when Kyler played against the Falcons? It wasn't great, but that felt like there was life. I think that's got to be what it's got to be for the Dolphins this week. And the Dolphins are the offense has been infinitely worse than what the Cardinals were last year before Kyler got back.
Yeah, and you look at it, the offense, you know, you mentioned it, 32nd in scoring, only 11.7 points per game, slightly lower than just the 15 points per game they averaged with, you know, with Tua. So it's not like, again, it's not like they were lighting teams up with Tua, but you look at the defense in the two games Tua played, they played very well. I mean, 267 yards to the Jags, only 17 points allowed, only 247 yards allowed to the Bills. That was a game where, you know, Tua's turnovers played more of an effect on short yardage and things of that nature. I mean, you look at the Bills scoring drives in that game, right? It's 37 yards for a touchdown, 19 yards for a touchdown. And then they did have an 85-yard touchdown drive and a 49-yard touchdown drive. But it's not like they – and then you look at what they did, and that was all in the first half. And then you look what they did in the second half, and it was, you know, 5 plays, 17 yards punt, 5 plays, 20 yards punt, 7 plays, 14 yards after another interception, missed field goal, and then end of game. So, you know, it's just one of those situations where the Bills didn't exactly light it up, but they still put up 31 points, and that's a lot of points. And,
yeah.
And so meanwhile, they just didn't really do much on offense. And, you know, there are games, it's something that we talk about all the time, right? Like, it's great if you're a quarterback like Josh Allen to be able to go 13 for 19 and 139 yards and only 2 rushing yards and win a game, because typically that's not what you expect from Buffalo, right? Like, he's got to be Superman. And so on the flip side for the Dolphins, it's after those first two games, 751 total yards of offense in the first two games. And then since then, it's just in 4 games after that, it's been just over 1,000 yards of offense. So it's like they went from averaging 325 or 375 yards of offense per game to about 250 yards of offense per game. And obviously the points are a massive thing. I mean, 3 points against Seattle, and you kind of feel like you can throw that game out, right? You're like, first game without Tua, that was coming off that. I mean, just, it was a horrible injury. And then the first game with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, so you're like, I can kind of throw that one out too. But then those New England and Indianapolis games, like, the yardage was better, but the points are still not there. But the yardage was better because they were just running the ball all over the place. I mean,
yeah,
193 rushing yards against the Pats in a win.
188 in the loss to Indy last week.
And so you look at it now, and it's like, okay, how do you get this going again if you're Miami? You bring Tua back, and it's, you know, we're recording Thursday night's 9:30. There's no confirmation or assuredness that he's back, but everything is
all signs. Every report has been that Tua's back. He was a full participant in practice on Thursday, which – You know, and here's the important thing from what Adam Seitz told me. Tua hasn't had any concussion symptoms since the day after his concussion. So,
yeah. And so, I mean, so that's the thing. We're expecting him to play. And you look at it, the defense has been really good. I mean, outside of that Buffalo and Seattle games, the defense has held its own. I mean,
they've only given up over 300 yards once, and that was to Seattle.
And I know that 31 looks awful against the Titans, right? But at the end of the day, you have to remember that a lot of these drives, again, were drives that were benefited from poor offensive play. I mean, you look at the Titans drives in that game, and again, 31 points is a lot, but 21 yards for a field goal, 19 yards for a field goal, 27 yards for a field goal, 11 yards for a field goal, 27 yards for a field goal, 10 yards for a touchdown. Like, that's wild. It like to have five scoring drives that are just over a combined 100 yards of offense is just an absurd thing. And so, you know, you have to look at it and kind of really dig into the numbers, because there are things that look really bad, right? The 31 points to the Titans, the 31 to the Bills, but the defense has been good. I mean, I
think it's a misleading defense. And I talked about with Adam, they're number one against the pass, but they're an offense that can't do anything. And so, you know what opponents can do?
Yeah, there's,
they don't need to pass that. And let's look at who they played. They played the Patriots, who have no passing offense. They played the Titans, who have no passing offense. They played the Colts. That's their last three games, who have no passing offense, with Anthony Richard, at Richardson.
And again, not to take anything away from that Buffalo game, but remember, that was a short week, and Josh Allen couldn't use his hand. I think it was his non-throwing hand still, but it was a different Josh Allen, different scheme, right? You weren't scheming him to be able to make plays bailing out of muddied pockets or being able to break tackles or run the ball. Because he injured his thumb in that Cardinals win. So, like, you look at the games, you know, the Seattle game is the one that sticks out. But the last 3 weeks, all games, actually every game but the Seattle game, they've held the opposition to under 150 yards passing, which is
weird.
Absurd.
They have no pass rush. They have 9 total sacks. You think the Cardinals have a bad pass rush with their 14 sacks? The Dolphins have 9, and they don't have Bradley Chubb back. They lost Jalen Phillips again. The man who leads them in sacks, now they've got 3 guys with 2 sacks on the season, but the man who's leading them in sacks and pressures and who's leading in sacks, well, tied for the lead in sacks, tied for the lead in QB hits, and has the most tackles for losses, none other than the 38-year-old Calais Campbell.
Yeah, the ageless wonder. And not to mention that, Jess, like that's one thing, like you said, but then you go to the rushing game, right? And it's something we talked about, like 193 yards against the Patriots, 188 yards against the Colts. Their leading rusher has 260 yards rushing on the season. I mean, that's 6 games. That's a paltry 43 yards per game. They seem to be able to – they have 3 dynamic runners, and they kind of just take turns, right? So, you know, you get the win over the lowly Patriots, right, who are terrible. I mean, it's an awful team. And you had Jalen Wright, the rookie, go for 86 rushing yards. You had Raheem Mostert go for 19 for 80, and then Devin Achane had 18 yards. But then you look at the game over Indy in the loss, right? They had what, 190 some odd yards or 188 some odd yards rushing. Tyler Huntley had 20. Tim Boyle had 4. Devin Achane had 77. Raheem Mostert had 50. Jalen Wright had 33. Tyreek Hill had 5. So it's not like you're getting, like, you know, Devin Achane 145 yards rushing and then his number two getting 40.
It's like the Cardinals, who get all their rushing production from James Conner. But it's like the way they run the ball as well, because they're not particularly, they're okay. They're 23rd in the league in yards per carry at 4.1, so it's not great, but it's not bad. And then, but their rush defense, 4.6. They give a 4.6 per carry.
Well, it's not but it's interesting things, right? They're seventh in rushing attempts.
Yes.
And so it's like, it's almost
seventh in rushing attempts, 11th in yards, and 23rd in yards per attempt.
Right. And so it's almost like they're just going to run the ball no matter what. I mean, you look at the game against the Colts, and you had 26 pass attempts. You had 40 rushing attempts. Like, that's in a loss. Like, that's absurd. Those numbers don't make any sense. I mean, if you're like the game the Cardinals just won, that's the type of numbers you would assume. You're like, oh yeah, against the Chargers, they just kept running the ball. But in a loss, that's like, and then you look at the other game, 31 passing attempts, 41 rushing attempts. Like, it's just absurd. And so we know what the offense has in the past looked like with Tua, and you have to assume it'll have a semblance of that when he's back, right? I mean, I don't think it's fair to expect them to come back and be like, oh yeah, they're the exact same. But I also think it's not fair to be like, oh, they're going to run the ball 40 times with Tua back in things. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic, because the Cardinals in general haven't faced a team that's this kind of one-sided, but then at the same time, they're not, because Tua is going to be back. So, like, I guess that's the hard part. This is a truly unknown game overall with Tua coming back.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how that's going to look. I look at some of the numbers, and, well, like, one important note about statistics here, the statistical thing that they're number one against the pass. They have the fewest pass attempts against them, which is, again, one of those things. That's when teams are ahead and they can run the ball against them, and they know that Miami's not going to score points. That's just...
Well, Jess, but it's crazy, because they have run 60 more plays than their opposition. 60.
That's crazy.
And they average 0.4 yards less per play, and they've scored 59 fewer points. So they're basically just playing keep away. Like,
so
that's the thing, is like, and all of this kind of goes out the window if Tua plays, right? Like, right, everything that we know about this team goes out the window,
because that offense is built around timing and precision, which honestly makes Tua one of the perfect quarterbacks for that system. Because what are his great strengths? They are his timing, his quickness. Like, it's his the quick decisions, his intelligence, and his accuracy, which he was really good at. And but yeah, that's going to be wild. Something that I asked Adam Stites is, I wondered if Mike McDaniels was kind of the same thing as Kyle Shanahan. You remember that stat that we had against the 49ers where Jordan Mason ran the ball exactly zero times against a stacked box? the Dolphins kind of do the same thing. Like if there are numbers, they will check out of a run play pretty much every time. And so that's an interesting thing. With Tua back, you might not be able to get away with it as well, especially when you have, well, here's the thing, as we're talking about matchups. We've got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and you've got first and second year cornerbacks playing.
They're at a huge advantage in that situation. And that's what's going to be interesting about this game is how it unfolds, because the matchup advantages are based on what we've seen this year, and what we've seen this year isn't really who the Miami Dolphins are. But also, again, is it even fair to assume that they can be that team right out the gate in week 8 after Tua having not played for 6 weeks? Like, is that really a fair thing to assume that they can get back to?
That's the wild thing about this matchup. So we've seen what the Dolphins have been, and like we're talking about a team that's wildly different.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens when
Tua, they had a really good offense last year. But this year, to start the season with Tua, they weren't a great offense performance-wise. Their defense looks good, but it is also deceptive because of how bad the offense is. And so you just have no idea. And let's go on and talk about how they match up. So coming up next on the Rise Up Zero podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web, let's move into the matchup, which will be hard to do. But how do the Cardinals match up against the Dolphins we've seen and the Dolphins we think they're going to be? It's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the web, talking about Dolphins, Cardinals, Cardinals, Dolphins this weekend. This is the part of the show when we look at the matchup itself. And really, this is an interesting matchup because in terms of what the Cardinals like to do, the Cardinals like to run the ball, and the Dolphins will give up yards. Like they've given up 142, 151, and 155 rushing yards in their last 3 games. But when you bring back Tua to the equation, they have 2 incredibly dynamic receivers going against the Cardinals secondary. And let's be honest, there's nothing about this Cardinals defense that we trust, that we don't think they're a good pass defense.
No.
We don't think they're a good run defense, but they have moments. Like you look at the second half against the Lions, the second half against the 49ers, and then their overall performance against the Chargers on Monday night. And you're like, I don't know. Like this defense that they're bad, but they have, you see how they come together and can be solid.
Yeah. And so you look at the matchups, right? And there's one glaring matchup that's going to be really interesting from the jump. And that's with the offensive line of the Dolphins. So they've got an elite player in Teron Armstead who, you know, has played the last 2 games fully. He played the first game, played most of the second game, got injured in the 3rd game, and then missed the 4th game, and then came back the last 2 games. And he is elite. He is still one of the best offensive left tackles in the NFL. He's fantastic. And the Cardinals don't have a pass rusher. I mean, nope. That's just the reality. So there's that, right? So you look at it and go, okay, well, that's not good. But, and then they have a really, really good center whose name we know extremely well, but nope, different guy, Aaron Brewer. So, you know, and he's a free agent signing that, you know, we had wondered if the Cardinals might be interested, but they love Yelda Froholt, and Yelda's been good. So it's not like anything, but he was with Tennessee and all that stuff. So you look at that and he's been really good for them. And then you have the rest of the line and you're like, well, the Cardinals defense isn't very good. Let's just be honest, but Liam Eichenberg, their guard, has been awful this year. And he's gotten progressively worse since the first game, which is interesting. He's been bad most of his career, and I think Dolphins fans have probably had enough of him. Austin Jackson hasn't been very good this year. He's been mostly bad since they drafted him in the first round in 2020. But again, can the Cardinals take advantage of that? And then Robert Jones, their other guard, hasn't been good this year. And remember, he's replacing Robert Hunt, who was like one of the best guards.
Yes,
in the entire NFL. So it's been interesting to watch because they've got an elite left tackle. They have an incredibly good center, and then it's like replacement level everywhere else. And so that explains some of the issues they have had, you know, being able to run the ball with purpose, and being able to protect the passer in those situations. So those are two things to kind of watch, because can guys like Dante Stills, Ben Stilley, we didn't see a whole lot from LJ Collier this last game, but he's a guy that they need to step up. You know, can these guys come in and play better, especially as pass rushers, right? And so Kyrus Tonga's played well, obviously, that we've talked about. Naquan Jones had a sack. He's got two sacks on the season. So, like, all of those guys could potentially have good games this week based on what we've seen out of the Dolphins offensive line. And then there's the other side of things, and it's like, all right, this is wild to say, but who's going to block Calais Campbell? I mean, 38-year-old Calais Campbell, you mentioned it. He's been by far their best defensive player still. He's on a pitch count, and a pretty heavy pitch count at this point in his career. And I mean, are we shocked by that, right? Like,
he's playing more than he should, though, from what Stites told me.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, it's like, he's still definitely on a pitch. I mean, 193 snaps is not very many.
Looks like he lines up. So it'll mostly be Tristan Colon and Isaiah Adams when they swap in and out.
That's what I was going to say. So he's been mostly on the defensive left side. They have moved him to the right side a couple times this year, not a ton. So it'll be mostly on the defensive left side of the ball. So, yeah, so Colon, Adams, Froholt a little bit, and even a little bit of probably Kelvin Beachum in certain sets, right? So all of those things are going to be interesting to watch, because this team, you know, I know they went to Chandler Jones after Calais left, and I don't think anybody was upset or like looked down on the move itself, right? I think we all agree that was the right move. They tried to pair the two, and then Calais left and went, and you know,
what happened is that no one thought, you know, everyone thought that Calais got probably too much money from Jacksonville, but then he went off and had he became an elite pass rusher off the edge. And we're like, what?
Right.
What?
Yeah. And so to see him play, and you know, you look at it, I mean, he did, like you said, playing a little more than they want. The last three games, he's up over 35 snaps a game. But that's really where you're going to get him. And he's not the pass rusher he was. Like, he reminds me more of young Calais, where he's just a dominant run defender with that length and that ability to anchor, that, and then can get to the pass rusher or get to the quarterback a little bit in those situations. But, you know, he's ridiculous, man. There's no other way to put it.
But the edge has been the like, if there is a team that has as more issues or more concerns about the edge play, it's Miami. Now, granted, they have major injuries that they're dealing with because Bradley Chubb hasn't come back yet. He's getting closer. Jalen Phillips, after coming back from his Achilles, blew out his knee. But Emmanuel Ogba has 2 sacks on the season so far, and he's an all right passer. Like he'll give you a little something. But the one that's been really disappointing is Chop Robinson, their first round pick, and he's playing more than he should. But they kind of expected him to be just like a specialized pass rusher. But what he's done so far this year is no sacks. He has as many sacks as we do and has 1 more quarterback hit than we do.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. I mean, Ogba's had 2 decent games. I mean, and they came in against really bad teams. He missed the last game, so that'll be something to watch, right? I mean, he didn't play against the Colts last game, so... Yeah, and quite frankly, you know, I never know what's happening with these guys. He was limited this week with the bicep so far, so we'll see. I mean, I'm assuming he'll play. But, I mean, he's had basically just 2 good games. He had, you know, against Jacksonville early and then against New England. And, again, you kind of have to throw out anything that happens against New England because they're just so bad. and then you mentioned Chop. I mean, he's been mostly disappointing this year. He showed a little bit against New England again, right? So
terrible offensive line. So
yeah. But then he really came back down to earth against Indy the next week and really, really kind of struggled again. Was shut out in every. I mean, he was getting hurries and hits at least in those games, and against New England, or sorry, against Indy, he was completely shut out. So, but I mean, let's be honest, the Cardinals aren't exactly the bastion of great, great offensive line play consistently, but it will be him against Paris Johnson Jr., who has looked very good this year and seems to be trending towards being, you know, an elite level left tackle, something that the Cardinals have always desperately needed. The other thing is their coverage has been interesting at best. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is still one of the premier defensive players in the league, but then from there, it's interesting. I mean, Javon Holland has really been down this year and he's been hurting. I think he was on he's limited with a hand injury. And then something named Cater Cahoe. I'm not going to lie. I've never heard of him.
Yeah. They do have they're 2 boundary guys, Kendall Fuller and Jalen Ramsey are solid. Kendall Fuller's quite good. At the same time, it's not like the Cardinals receivers are producing much.
Yeah, but Cahoe's taken more snaps than Fuller has this year. You know, Fuller's one of those guys that consistently is, like, nicked up, right?
He missed a game. He did miss a game.
Yeah, he missed half of the Seattle game and then all of the game after that. You know, and then Cahoe, again, I'm not being rude. I'm not familiar with the name, but he hasn't played.
Cater Cahoe.
He hasn't played well. I mean, that's a reality. And so he's a guy that can be taken advantage of, but he's their slot guy. So you would think Dortch is the guy that would need to take advantage of that this week. Their linebackers, Jordan Brooks has been abysmal in coverage this year. So again,
just like he was when he was in Seattle.
Yeah. And there's a reason they got rid of him. And then, you know, Jordan Poyer, love him. I have been a huge fan of his game for a really long time. It's looking like Buffalo made the right decision. he's been fairly bad this year in coverage. So again, like you said, Jess, like it's just such a weird team because they have all these decent statistics defensively, but nobody's played extremely well. Like you said, Jalen Ramsey is still a phenom. He's a great player. Kendall Fuller, when he's on the field, is good. He's not what he once was, but he's still very good. But, like, you know, they don't get any pass rush. Jordan Brooks and David Long have been terrible in coverage from their linebacker position. And Javon Holland and Jordan Poyer haven't been good at their safety. So it's just like, what are you getting? The guy to watch outside of Calais is Zach Seiler. He's been kind of their He's played at an incredibly high level this year. You know, and everybody's always kind of, I don't want to say written him off, but kind of given a lot of his good play over to Christian Wilkins, right? Because Christian Wilkins was so dominant with,
right.
With Miami. Like,
and Sealer's production, like last year was so anomalous. He had 10 sacks last year, 11 tackles for loss, 22 quarterback hits. His previous high was 3.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, and 12 quarterback hits. It was just, you know what it was kind of like? Jordan Phillips, when he had his 9.5 sacks, he just came out of nowhere. And so there's a reason why people would think that, because you're playing next to Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer. He's good, but just
I will say though, he's followed it up with probably his second best year. And so that's what you want to see. But like you said, like, this is just such a weird defense, but they see the least amount of snaps in the NFL. Their opponents have the ball for the least amount of time, or second least amount of time. I apologize. And so, like, all of their numbers are really good sans against the run. And it's just, yeah, you kind of scratch your head with it, right? Like, are they a really good defense that's just been carrying a terrible offense? Or are they a defense that's taking advantage of the fact that they're fresh all the time because their offense is always on the field and they're able to, like, chew up clock exponentially before they go out there and they don't have to worry? Like, it is a wild, wild variance. I mean, to see how this is all playing out. I mean, again, number two in opponent time, number one in opponents' plays per drive. So, like, they get off the field fairly well. Number three in,
but they give their, but the offense gives them terrible field position.
Right. And so that's what's wild about this whole thing. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because we know the keys, but if two is back and they're able to play at a high level, and again, I think it would be unfair just to expect that if you're a Dolphins fan. But if they do play at a high level, it's like, we know how good they can be offensively, especially, but will the defense be able to hold suit now that they've got a little, you know, that they have a little more pressure on them?
So for me, what it comes down for this game is that the one thing that Tua gives them is explosiveness, because you've got the threat of the deep pass. And I think probably the absolute, there's two critical matchups, and that's the Cardinals cornerbacks against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. If they give a big place to them, long afternoon. If they can kind of keep them in check and, you know, at least pass defensively, do what they did against the Chargers, which was keep things in front of them for the most part, they'll be in okay shape. If they can limit the rushing attack and just keep the passing game from being too explosive, because, you know, that's the for me, the matchup of Tyreek and Jalen Waddle against, because I'm guessing Sean Murphy Bunting will not play this week. And so you've got Star Thomas, second year undrafted guy, Garrett Williams, second year, Max Melton, rookie. And they're going to really have to, I think, honestly, they're really going to have to protect Max. Because he's the one that has the inconsistencies as plays. And Star has been solid this year. Garrett Williams has been very good this year. But I could see Max Melton being an issue against Tyreek, because while we've seen the high-end play from Max at times, he's also the most prone to mistakes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at it, this has been a team that just has not done a great job against the pass all year, and most of it stems from a lack of pass rush, right? Like, I mean, you and I can agree with that. That being said, getting torched by Justin Herbert and a group of tight ends was not a great look. And so this team's got to come in and figure out how they're going to rectify that, and if this is a game that they can do that, because again, when you look at it, I mean, their defensive pass yards per game are giving up 236. That's 26 in the NFL, and their rush yards per game is 139th. That's 26 in the NFL. So at least there's some consistency there, right? Like,
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, this is a team that has to show up, has to change the complexion of the game, because Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are an elite receiving duo.
Yeah. The Cardinals, like the Dolphins do not take the ball away by and large. They have 5 takeaways on the season so far. And they will turn the ball over. Well, they can turn the ball over. Remember, you know, they've had 8 turnovers in their games, but 5 of them were non-Tua. 3 of them came against the Bills by Tua, so we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. And so this really is, and we'll talk about the predictions a little bit. This year feels like a game, okay, the Cardinals can have a slog fest again and another slog fest win. Or what if the Dolphins look good like the Dolphins again? The Cardinals aren't prepared for that. They're not prepared for that.
Yeah, that's what the worry becomes, right?
Coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Carlson's Talk on the Web. Let's move on to the final segment, the one I'm sure you like the most. That's when we make our picks, predictions, and we talk about prop bets. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, Mr. Carlson's Talk on the Web. Time to talk about outcomes. And this is what I think this will be, I can see this going any number of ways. I could see the Cardinals grinding out a close win. I could see the Cardinals losing a close one. I can also see this. This is a team. This is a game, as what we've seen after they, you know, their moral victory against the Lions, only to get absolutely smoked by Washington. They go out and grind out a win against San Francisco, to then get demolished by the Packers. They slog through that win against the Chargers, and now you get Tua Tagovailoa back with the explosive weapons that he has. There is a large fear in the back of my mind that they're going to get boat raced, that this is going to be a game where the Dolphins get right because Tua is back in the lineup, and so they can throw the ball down the field. And there is a part of me, I 100% could see this being a 34-17 Dolphins win. That said, don't you just want to believe that the Cardinals, because they keep showing us the good, are going to string a couple of games together?
That's the hope, right? I mean, that's the thing that we've been kind of waiting for all year when it comes to this team. And it just feels like it gets further and further away after every week. And like you said, they won last week, so it's not like we're being weird. It's just
they haven't won consecutive games since 2021. So yeah.
And that's just that's just what it comes down to, right? Like they haven't won games, they haven't won consistently, and instead they've continued to be a team that is unable to string together games that make you confident in the direction of the franchise.
And I will say this game is not a good game for that, because I think unless they turn a corner and they offensively look good and kind of limit the explosiveness. So if they won by 10 to 13 points, I think we'd be, okay. But I think this is going to be a slog fest. And here's my prediction for this game. I could 100% see this as another Chad Ryland game-winning field goal game. I've got this game 23-20 Cardinals.
Yeah, I have this one coming down, and I do have the Dolphins taking it, though. The Cardinals cover. I have it at 3.5 still, but the Cardinals cover 2017 Dolphins.
Ooh, another A slog fest. More slog fest. Okay. So now we can look at some of the things. So, you know, in my scenario, assuming that, we're going to be looking at a 23-point performance, then, well, Chad Ryland's field goals made becomes a good one for mine, because you can get over 1.5 made field goals for plus 110. And at the 23-point prediction that I've got, that's three field goals. That's three field goals. So that not it is not a bad way to go. But let's take a look at some of these, some of the props that are out. Interesting where they put Tua for the passing yards. 251.5 in his first game back. And that seems like easy, doesn't it? Don't you think that's going to be an easy get for going against the Cardinals off Cardinals defense?
What's wild to me is it's 255.5. They just came up, but it's 255.5 on FanDuel. So yeah, I'd take that one on yours, on BetMGM.
Before the line changes,
right? What's wild to me is that this line of over 1.5 touchdown passes for Tua is minus 108. So it's you know, it's about even money, but to see it like that, it just, it's kind of interestingly disrespectful, right? Like he's been out and they come back in and they're like, yep, we got this. It's no big deal.
Right. Well, I mean, I can see why. Like he was the passing leader last year. The Cardinals are not a good passing defense. Like they gave up four touchdown passes to Jordan Love. They gave up the touchdown passes to Jaden Daniels. And yeah, now they didn't give up any touchdowns at all, but Justin Herbert didn't have any problem throwing the ball against them either. He had 349 yards. So I guess that kind of makes sense. And then I look at Kyler Murray's over 1.5 plus 125. You understand completely why that's a thing. But Kyler he's going through the longest stretch of his career without multiple touchdown passes in a game. This is the longest he's gone his entire career. He's gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He went last year. He went 5 games in his first 5 games without, he had 0, then 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. He's had 1 touchdown pass in each of the last 5 games. And before that, he never went more than 3 games without having multiple touchdown passes in his career. Do I think that will be the case? No, I don't think he will. I mean, that's one to look at because, you know, if the Cardinals are going to score 2 touchdowns, what's the most likely scenario? 1 passing, 1 rushing, like they had last week.
Yeah, and they do have Kyler over 1.5 for plus 144. So it's an interesting thing to watch, like you said, Jess, because it's a little different. As of this recording, FanDuel has nothing else in terms of player prop, so we'll go off of BetMGM for the rest of these.
Okay. Rushing yards, interesting one. Now, if you'd listen to Adam Stites, he seems to think that this is going to be a Raheem Mostert game over Devonta Chain game, which means there is money to be made because you get Raheem Mostert, it's over 35.5 at minus 110, up to 50 plus, it's plus 140. And if you want to go crazy, which Stites thinks that this is going to be like a 75 to 80 yard game for Mostert this game. You can get Mostert 50 on the alternate rushing yards, 50 plus at plus 140 and 75 plus at 450. If we're talking James Conner, here's the thing. James Conner is good money, but you're not going to make as much money because you get the over-under is at 70.5. I don't, like, I'll probably leave this one alone, and you can get him at 75 plus at plus 105. you at 100 plus, you get a plus 290. But he's been the money maker. It's just that let's look at Connor's production at least this year. James Connor on a game by game basis, and if we look at his game logs this year, you see him this year. He has 3 100 yard games, which is one less than he had last year, but it's gone 50, 122, 17, 104, 86, 24, 101. He did have consecutive 100 yard games last year in the final two games of the season, but, and then you have to go back to 2020 with Pittsburgh when he had consecutive 100 yard games. Now he did in 2018 have four straight 100 yard games. That's old history at this point. So while I don't know, I don't love banking on Connor for a second game in a row to do that much. I'm leaning towards avoiding him, but going with Mostert instead. What would be your take on that for Connor?
Yeah, I don't like Connor in this one. Just because 70 and a half is a little much. I prefer, like you said, to see them at, 60, right around 65 and a half is where I would want him. I know 6 yards seems inconsequential, but it is, makes a huge difference, right? And then, from there, I really like the Mostert play. I think it gives them, I think it gives you a good chance to ladder something.
Yes.
In this one, the issue becomes you're betting more against Mike McDaniel than you are the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because it definitely could be a Raheem Mostert game, but it could be a Devin Achane game. And, ironically enough, it could also be a
Jalen Wright game.
Yeah, Jalen Wright game. So, you just don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, that's a risky one. What about Kyler at 33 and a half rushing yards?
Yeah, I think that's an easy one to take.
And then you can ladder him to plus at 50 plus to plus 210 if you want to take that, play that a little bit. I know with Kyler, the one downside that you have with that is that he does the kneel downs, so you might find yourself in a bad beat at the end of the game. If the Cardinals are winning and you end up, he's at 51 yards. And then after two kneel downs, he ends up at 49. So that one's a little bit scary because of the fact he's the kneel down guy.
Yeah. And that is worrisome. They do have some interesting touchdown props in this one though, Jess, that I'd like to, cause you and I both have this as a low scoring affair, two touchdowns for the Cardinals, two touchdowns for the Dolphins. Where do you think those touchdowns come from?
Well, let me see. You sent me over the...
So I'll start. So the interesting one for me is Jalen Wright plus 600, because the other running backs, Achane's minus 115, Mostert's plus 160, which isn't bad. But those numbers are kind of... that's not really good juice for a touchdown. So, getting Jalen Wright at plus 600, I do like that. If he's not the guy, it gives you a little something over everything else that this game offers. And then the other one I like coming out of this one, and every week I kind of look at it, but I really like Elijah Higgins talking about the Titans.
Yes.
And those numbers.
It's plus 1,100. He always seems to find himself around that area. And especially because they're going to pay attention to Trey McBride.
Right. And their tight end coverage is just awful.
So that's a money maker you can have there. We've been waiting for a while for Trey McBride, but honestly, on the safer end, I like Jalen Waddle at plus 170. Because, like, Tyreek Hill at plus 105, that's not much, but you get a little bit better with Waddle at plus 170. And I'm guessing probably what we're going to see is, I don't know, I'm thinking it'll be two touchdown passes for Miami. I guess, you know what might be another good one for Miami would be Jonnu Smith at plus 330.
Well, I was going to say the other one I like, you know, coming off of your analysis, especially from Adam, Raheem Mostert, two touchdowns is plus 1,200. I didn't send those ones to you. So,
Mostert was the fantasy monster last year.
Yeah. So if you do think this is a Mostert game, plus 1,200 for two touchdowns, you know, that could be something to look at. If you're feeling super frisky, Mostert for three touchdowns is plus 8,500. So you can get some really good juice on touchdown props in this one while we wait for the other numbers to come up.
You've got some really, in terms of number of receptions for the Cardinals, you've got some really nice plus odds. The problem is Miami's got a good pass defense and the Cardinals don't produce much in the passing game. You can get James Conner over 2.5 receptions for plus 145. Marvin Harrison over 4.5 at plus 130. Trey McBride over 5.5 at plus 110. But that you know, that's not so much that they're going to have to go a lot to McBride. They don't have more than that. Greg Dortch isn't on there. The one that you could, I think they purposely leave out, the one that's kind of a cheap win in the different types of games is Amari DiMercato, because he is their third down back and their check down guy specifically. So he usually gets, especially if you believe that the Dolphins could make this a blowout, Connor's receptions, and if DiMercato comes up on something, you'd want to get him, because they're going to get cheap throws on the check downs, trying to get as yards that they can get.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that, you know, you'll see in this one. I'm interested to see what the numbers come out of for FanDuel when the receptions come out.
My one bet, because when it came to props last over the game, the last game, they weren't pretty. But the one thing that you could have made some money on was the alternate total last week when I for the Monday game, when I said, you know, take, I thought it was going to be a sloggy game, go under 40, and you got nice plus odds. With the set at 45 and it was set at 46, if you like doing that, you can, if you want to ratchet it down on an alternate total down to under 40, if you do 44.5, you get even money. 44 plus 110, 43.5 plus 120. And, you know, where I've got this game is 43. So if you want to ratchet that down to 43.5 and take under at plus 120, you can make a little money. If you want to go with Seth's, if he was going to be even lower scoring, you can get it under 40 at plus 185, under 40.5 plus 170. If you want to even drop it down to 39 with the hook, plus 200. So if you think it's going to be really sloggy, like honestly, which the Dolphins games have been this year, and which honestly the Cardinals have been this year in. If they haven't been blowouts and they're close, they play sloggy games. So you can make a little money on the alternate total in this game.
Yeah, and that's a good place to go look at it. You know, I just, my whole thing is we're going to find out who this Dolphins team is and see a whole new side of them that we haven't seen since, you know, week two. And again, it wasn't pretty, and I don't think it's going to be pretty, or I don't think it's going to be as explosive and dynamic immediately, but I definitely do think that they have a great first matchup, right? Because the Cardinals haven't exactly been great defensively.
Nope, not at all. So it's kind of like it's kind of both worlds. It's a good matchup for the Cardinals to get an even to throw for. Here's the thing again. We're back here. It's like this is a game this weekend where they could come out in first place in the NFC West, or they could get boat raced again because Seattle is playing the Bills. All it takes, Seattle loss and Cardinals win. They're both 4-4. Cardinals take the lead. And if you would have thought, outside maybe us, if you'd have said before the season that the Cardinals would be 500 and in first place in the NFC West at the midpoint of the season, we'd have gotten, you'd get laughed at. And that this is, and is as bad as the, like, this season has not gone well for the Cardinals. That's the crazy thing. They win this game, they could be in first place. And there's honestly, we look at this team and it's like they haven't been playing well. We have major questions about this team, but if they're 4-4 after this week, with the schedule they have coming up, they're in a really good spot. Because you got the Bears, you got the Jets. There's questions about the Bears, there's questions about the Jets. You've got a bye coming up. You've got the Patriots. You've got the Panthers. Two teams you want 100% better win or, fire everyone, right? But this is a weird position because there isn't any belief in this team right now, right? Like you feel from the fan base, from the media, from the fan base, from across the analysts, there's no belief in this Cardinals team.
Yes, I can tell you what the belief is in this team just based on...
That's right. What is your fan reaction polls say right now?
We're talking about it was 38% last week. It hasn't gained much traction. Like, wins tend to help a little bit, obviously, but it's not... it's just not a team that anybody's buying right now. And that's
and if they could come out of this week 4-4 with the problems they had, we might have ourselves a season. I'm not saying it's a good season, but we could be, because there's the start of this season was just so tough. It's gonna lighten up, and we've been waiting for them how to learn how to win. They've won some games, but now they need to learn how to win. If they can stack these two wins in a row, okay. But it feels like we say this every other week. We do this every other week, don't we? We're like, all right, this could be the turning. This could be a turning a corner. This could be a step up, and then they get boat raced. So maybe we'll be in the same spot again next week.
That's the concern, right, man?
So maybe the Cardinals win. Maybe they lose. Maybe they get blown out. The one thing I would be absolutely shocked if they handily beat the Dolphins. That, in my opinion, that would be the least likely scenario of all of them, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's my favorite part, is that we're like, the biggest thing we do not expect is them to win by a lot. Right? Like, everything else, we're like, we'll see what happens. But, like, we're like, they're definitely not going to win going away. I mean, that's...
Right. This is... They win ugly. Aside from the Rams game, there are two wins that they won ugly. They won ugly those games. And all right, with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up here at Podcast, especially our Cardinals talk on the web. This episode 606. We'll be back next week as we will review what happens against Miami, and then hopefully we'll have at least one, maybe two shows as we look ahead to the Bears next week. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening as always. Hit up Cards Wire and Revenge of the Birds for your reading Cardinals needs. And we'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.